This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 93.
To be very honest with you, when I was in school, all my friends who are top students all wanted to get into investment banking. Do they really know what that is? No. People just thought that was the best way to make the most money. They don't care if they killed themselves. They thought they were young. They could put in 100 hours and up or out. You either make it to the partner or you can just go to their partner companies.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Cody Ye, and he is a first-generation immigrant from Taiwan who moved to Canada at the age of 18. He went to university as an engineer, got a white-collar job, but apparently that wasn't good enough. Cody is now a stock and options coach, YouTube influencer, a real estate investor, and more importantly, he's building an empire to help more people reach financial independence sooner. So Cody, I love your background. I love your mission. I love what you're doing. Welcome to the show.
Wow, that was such a good intro. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, I do this with every guest that I bring on the show. I gave like the wave top background of who you are, but people want to know what that vast ocean of Cody Ye looks like. So if you could you share a little bit more about yourself and your story? How did this all get started for you? I know you became an engineer, got a white-collar job. That's pretty high-paying stuff, man, but that wasn't enough. So you got into the stock and options thing. How did that start?
Yeah, so back it up a little bit. I came to Canada when I was 18 from Taiwan with a student visa. At that time, I have to catch up my grade 12 English, grade 11, grade 10, whatever. The math, you know, not to be stereotyped, it's not hard, but it's the English that's a problem. I couldn't even understand the question, right? And from that point, I really chose engineer because I want to get the highest paying job coming right out of university because my parents was paying for my tuition and it's very expensive as an international student. I don't want to bring so much loading on my family. So I look at my dad was a doctor. I look at doctor, I look at business and all that. And I found out that engineer is one of the ways that can not become really rich, but become stable. At that time, I didn't know anything about wealth building yet, right? Until my second year in university where I found out that all these engineering curriculums, competition are great, but I found my true interest in financing, accounting, and marketing. I actually sit in the class at night after requirement and I couldn't even book those classes. I couldn't even enroll, but I would sit in the back and listen to it. And that's where it really piqued my interest. And that's where I start investing in stocks, really.
Wow. So that kind of, it was, you were just kind of like a fly on the wall in some of these classes that you just snuck in there. That's a pretty smart way to get in there and get like a free education. That's pretty cool, man. So I have to ask, so if you moved to Canada at the age of 18, did you move over with family or did your family stay back in Taiwan?
So my brother came first. So my brother was 3 years older than me. So he came to Vancouver because our auntie was there, kind of like our second mom. Okay. And from there, we applied to all the schools we want to go to. And then we end up in Toronto, Canada, which is kind of like the New York of US equivalent. And yeah, that's how we got into Canada is because of that. Yeah.
Okay. Right on. All right. Now you chose to be an engineer because you wanted something that was more high paying. So you looked at that, you said your dad was a doctor, right? And you're looking for something that's going to give you an option to be more comfortable. Not of course, you wouldn't get rich from being an engineer, but you'd be able to live that comfortable life and have a high income paying job. Now, as you're going into this classroom and learning about stock options and just financial literacy itself and how to become more financial independent, what was it that flipped that switch that said, you know what, being an engineer at this point is great, but it's not going to be enough as I move into the future? Because it sounds like even before you got your engineering degree, you knew already that this was not going to be enough. So what was it that flipped the switch? Was it something that one of the professors said? Was it just being in that room and absorbing that information that just, you were just like, man, this, I'm not going to get to where I want to get by just doing my job?
Yeah, just over broke, right?
Exactly.
So, to be very honest with you, when I was in school, all my friends who are top students all wanted to get into investment banking. Do they really know what that is? No. People just thought that was the best way to make the most money. They don't care if they killed themselves. They thought they were young. They could put in 100 hours and up or out. You either make it to the partner or you can just go to their partner companies. So at that time, I have no sense of financial freedom or whatever I'm teaching right now. At that time, I learned about stocks, accounting, all that. I just stick with playing with boring stocks. And it's not until 2015 where I got introduced to my day trading coach. I know I did that for 2 years. And not any day trading coach. She doesn't have any YouTube podcast, whatever. She's like under the radar, but she was managing $50 million. And I wouldn't believe it until I see her screen. She was sharing until she was making trades. And I was just amazed. She was 2 years younger than me. So when I was 26, she was 24. And that really shocked me so much. And she was flipping Hermes bags. People flip like high-end exotic cars. And as girls, they flip Hermes bags. I was like, that blew my mind. And then from that, while I was doing that, I was working a lot of overtime on my full-time job. So it was not glamorous, right? My starting pay was, I think, $62,000. So I don't know if that's a high-paying job, but because of all the overtime and bonus, I hit $120,000 for like over that 4 years in a row. But I almost killed myself because I worked 400 to 800 hours overtime and take on a lot of responsibility. And for the day trading, it was great, but that was my second job. I was trading in the Asian market. Soon I realized this is good return, but it's not what I want. It's not the financial freedom what I want, right? That's why I like real estate. Not like day trading is great. It's only for a small group of people, but I like real estate right now a lot more to build your net worth and a stock option program teaching right now. So people can make 1-4% per month only using less than 30 minutes per day. To me, real estate and stock option, you can say passive or they call it leverage your time investing, has the highest return on time and lowest return on stress. So we're not looking at the overall return, but we're looking at every single hour. What is that rate? And real estate and stock option investing gives me that and gives me the freedom to get on this podcast, even on a Saturday, right? So that is what I'm looking for. I know a lot of people out there are looking for this as well. It's not like trying to find the second or third side hustle. What is the point? A lot of my students actually fire a lot of their side hustle once they learn the skills, right?
Yeah, Cody, that's pretty amazing. And to think about it, as you're going along on your journey here, right? You were 26 years old. You come across this coach who was 2 years younger than you that was doing day trading, right? You said she was day trading over $50 million.
That was what she was managing. I saw her account. My heart almost stopped.
That's insane. I mean, you get a 1% increase and you did quite well. So that's awesome. There was something else you said that I really want to hone in on that I think is super important. You said when you started off at your job, you were upwards of $62,000 a year, right? To start off.
That's my starting rate.
Putting in all this overtime and working over 100 hours a week. And basically with that amount of time that you're putting in and stress, slowly killing yourself, right? And that could be detrimental to your health, right? Mental health, physical health, just putting all of that time and effort into that. And then on top of that, you'd finish up your work for the day and you would do some day trading. And so you basically had two jobs. So it didn't stop when you
three
got
job.
Home. When you got home.
Three jobs. Because whenever I'm not day trading, I'm going to all these real estate investing seminars around Toronto area. I was because like where I work is up north, an hour drive from the main city. So I was literally driving 1 hour one way. And so many times I almost fell asleep on the highway. Yeah. And I'm not going to talk about that. But sometimes I woke up, I'm a two lane down. I'm like, this has got to stop. Like this day trading thing, I couldn't do this anymore, right? So that's really what spurred me because I know it's very dangerous now. from that on. Yeah. I was so exhausted. And my white hair was coming out when I was 26. Now I don't have much. I didn't know white hair can disappear. That's funny.
Oh, there you go. Hey, teach me your secret, because mine has not disappeared since it showed up. The stuff up top is going away, which is why I always have my hat on, right? But then the stuff on the sides, I'm pulling a George Clooney over here. I just got the salt and pepper like something crazy. And that started in my late 20s as well. So, and now I'm going into my late 30s and it won't go away. So I don't know if you use just for men or if you've got some type of secret, but if you do got a secret, we could talk about it offline. But anyway, and just realizing where you were at that point where you had to make that shift, because like I was saying, that whole mental health and physical health aspect, when you're sitting here working, trying to work these three different jobs and you're driving an hour to get to one meetup and then you're there for what, probably at least an hour or two. Hours? And then you have to drive an hour back. That's 4 hours of your day on top of the 10 to 12 hours you put in at the office that day, on top of the time that you put into your day trading that day. Mm-hmm. When the heck were you sleeping?
When am I going that? I couldn't do day trading if I'm going to that. And yeah, I was literally renting a room for 6 years for $600. So that's before I save up for my first down payment. Right. Okay. And that's how I started. And then that just kept snowballing. Right. But at that time, I didn't know a better way. Yeah. Day trading profits, full-time job, saving, spend less, right? But now 9 days different, I have multiple stream of income. But at that time, I didn't know better, right? I just buy, that's weight. And we're just talking off recording that I'm selling that same house I bought, which I thought I'll stay there for 5 to 10 years if I ever have a kids at this full-time job. You know, we bought it in 2017 for $460. And right now I'm getting multiple offers and myself for $1 million. And yeah, that's the power amazing. Of real estate.
That's amazing.
And what we're going to do with that profit? Well, probably half of it is going to go to the next house. The other half is going to come into my trading account. Now, in my trading account, if I make the passive cash flow, I already have a 7-figure trading account. So if I make 1% to 4% per month, just say the 1%, but just say 1 million, it's 120,000 per year. That's good enough for me to live a comfortable life. The rest of the proceeds will go and buy more real estate.
Yeah.
And the more real estate goes up, like in the long term, like where there's very strong fundamental, I can refinance more money, put in my trading account. And we go in a crazy circle, speeding up the financial freedom process. So active business, multiple active business, real estate investing, stock option with the cash flow, and they all work really well together. I have whole life insurance and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. See, a lot of people don't realize one of the biggest secrets in the industry right now to just being able to keep your money. And I'm not saying to not ever pay taxes, but there's a lot of ways to avoid taxes. And you do that by borrowing from your own assets, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of selling all those stock options, you borrow from it and you invest that money into real estate. And then instead of selling that piece of real estate that you want to keep that's cash flowing, you pull out a home equity line of credit and you take that cash and you put it back into the stock market. And then you can just get this vicious cycle going where now you have these liabilities on your assets that you can claim against your taxes, right? But at the same time, the cash that you pulled out, you didn't pay taxes on because you borrowed it. So yeah, that's, I like your little, it's like the circle of life right there for the working dollar, right? You figured out how to get your dollars to work. That's
how you get ahead in life. And that's what I never learned in school. The accounting learned in school, the marketing, the finance, the stocks, investing, they always focus on mechanism, but they don't focus on what is the impact of this in your life. So I have to figure that out later on from taking multiple courses, coaching, mentorship from real life, from talking to real people like yourself to figure that out, right? And I'm just so amazed by why those are not taught in school, really, to be honest. And I think we both know why. And that's why I'm building this empire to really, just like yourself, to really create more financial literacy for people out there. Because there's a way to get ahead in this financial game. And guess what? If you're ahead in the financial game, a lot of other physical, mental, relationship problem will be greatly reduced. A lot of time, just like my family, all that problem came from the financial stress. And they were forced to make decisions that they think they don't have a choice on, but it's because the choice they make 5 years ago, they don't have a choice right now. Right. So I'm pretty sure you get what I mean, right?
I do. Yeah. Your decisions today really affect your outcome for tomorrow. And it's really funny, like as we're sitting here talking and you're explaining the whole thing about the financial literacy and education in the school system today, it saddens me, but at the same time, I'm happy to see that it's not how it's done in the United States, that also in Canada, it's the same way, that you don't see the financial literacy taught in schools, in public education. And like you said, the reason why, I know the reason why, and that's because when all of this was put together, the whole point of the education system is to create good workers, good employees.
There we go. You
right?
said it.
Because it is. It's true, yeah. right? And there's nothing wrong with that because we do need employees. Mm-hmm. We do need people in the workforce to do certain things. But if you look at what's happening today, you mm-hmm. look at everybody calls it the Great Resignation. Mm-hmm. And I had a guest on, I think this was episode 40, right? And mm-hmm. she is somebody who went viral on TikTok talking about how she does her freelancing through Fiverr and Upwork and other websites. Mm-hmm. And she started off that way. She left her corporate job and started doing freelancing. And in her first year, made like 30 something thousand. The next year, she made 60,000. The year after that, she made like 270,000. Then the year after that, she made 360,000. She's hiring virtual assistants to outsource some of the work. And now she's clearing, I believe, over 400, 500K. It's insane. And she's got like 8 different modes of income, right? So 8 different streams of income. And that's the thing. Like you see all these people leaving their day job mm-hmm. to start doing something else and working from home because there's so many possibilities there. And you're going to see probably 80% of the workforce in the next 10 to 20 years will be working from home, especially now as we start developing more into like this whole metaverse thing. I'm not even going to get into all that, as crazy as it sounds. But if you look at some of the movies that have come out not too long ago, I yeah. really think we're heading in that direction where we're going to be living in like an episode of Black Mirror, where, you know, or something like that, because that's where we're headed. And if people aren't going to open their eyes to what the future is going to look like, you're going to get left behind to quote unquote say that in the Stone Ages, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you're doing right now with your mission and bringing coaching people into being able to build up another stream of income. And you're doing that through stock options, right? But also you had mentioned that you also invest in real estate, and yeah. that's super important because that's one of those assets that's always going to be something people need. You're always going to need a roof over your head. There's always going to be a need for shelter. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I like about that. Now, I'm not too smart when it comes to options trading and things like that, because I'm more of a real estate guy. I do have some individual stocks, but most of the stuff that I invest in the stock market is in index funds, because I can set it and forget it and just mm-hmm. go about I buy individual stocks for companies I believe in, like Apple, Tesla, and things like mm-hmm. that, even though Tesla is completely overvalued, but I won't get into that either. But at the same time, I want to talk a little bit more about, I want to change the focus of this interview to what you do as a stock options coach, because mm-hmm. I'm really interested in this, right? And so mm-hmm. I'd like to know, because you touched on it, that whole like circle of life is what I was calling it mm-hmm. of the dollar, right? Circle of life of the dollar. I'm coining
speeding
that.
Up.
There you go. Boom.
Right.
So how does stock options investing and real estate investing work hand in hand for somebody to build generational wealth?
Boom. Bingo. That was my key goal. I don't have kids yet. I started buying whole life insurance when I was 23. Everyone thought I was like diamond in the rough. Like they were like, Cody, where do you pop out of? Right. And that's all because the family I grew up in, I seen how high income earners, if they don't have financial literacy, how they can put on a lot of stress to the family as well. It doesn't really matter how much you owe anymore. This game cannot be win. This financial game cannot be win by earning more income. Half of those under your W-2 or T-4s in Canada are paid to the government. Or never win if you don't know how to have corporation and all that. And coming back to this real estate game, that's what really, a real estate stock option, that's what really opens my eyes, because the real estate is a leverage play. Now, we can argue that real estate really driven by 3 things, right? Jobs, population growth, that's pretty much it, right? And there's other smarter stuff, right? If people want to move in, the fundamental is strong. Right. So I know all those numbers in Canada, right? We have 400 to 500,000 people come into Canada every year. 40% of that comes into Toronto. So guess where the housing is going? Plus, there's a supply issue because of the global shortage and the government's not making it easier for our builders or developers. So that, from that's open book. Now, if you're saving for your first property. You're like, Cody, I want to buy my first house. Stock option help you to make more return comparing just putting your money in the bank, right? GIC pay you less than 1%. There's some index fund pay you 5 to 8%, right? That's great. But if you can have more control and speed up that process to buy your first house. So once you buy your first house, a lot of your listeners is like, Cody, I have 10 properties or like 100 doors. Like, I'm way over that. I'll get to that. People buy their first property as it goes up. Like you said, you can refinance it out without paying any tax on it legally. And guess what? You can put that in your trading account or go buy your next property, depending on which stage you are. And then as the house price goes up, you can refinance more. Or if you put it in your trading account, if you make split out more cash flow, save it up. With your full-time job or your active business, go buy more real, right? So that's a back and forth thing, right? And then for a stock and option thing, you can actually open up an account in your corporation as well. So in Canada, you can be treated as active income. So it's a tax at a very favorable rate. And you only take out the money you really need to your personal level. So it's really a hack and it works really well.
Yeah. And also with that, so if you were going to, you pull out what you need from your corporation, right? And then you, when you take it out or take out what you need, you're going to pay yourself from the corporation as an employee, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just, so I'm not really sure how that works in Canada versus how it works in the United States, but we have some pretty good tax breaks for LLCs and mm-hmm. Different things like that to pay their employees at least $12,000 a year. So like right now, that's one of the things as my children get a little bit older, like I'm going to start tasking them with some small things and paying them, right?
Income splitting.
Yeah. No, that's pretty neat. So I didn't know that it worked that way in Canada as well. So that's one of the things I really like is just how relatable we can still make this, even though we're in different countries right now, but we can talk about the same things because financial literacy, and I'll say this too, financial literacy is not only limited to a specific country or specific region or anything like that. Financial literacy is important all around the world. It's just mm-hmm. how you attack that particular need for finances in specific countries. There's different rules. So different the main vehicles. Thing is, different vehicles, but you have to educate yourself mm-hmm. on that. Get educated on what the rules are. Because for the longest time, I was investing and I didn't really know the rules and I wound up paying a lot of taxes. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff can be avoided. So, and it could be avoided educating yourself or getting yourself a coach that knows what they're doing that can help push you through that. Mm-hmm. So now, how can you use stock options to invest and generate like a significant stream of cash flow through real estate, right? So like you had mentioned, as you're pulling money out from the stock options and you're putting it into the real estate, are you more focused now by taking some of that hard money that is more active and putting it into real estate to make it something that's a little bit more passive? Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Guess what? Both are very passive for me. If you know how to set up well, right? For my real estate is very passive. I have the whole power team. Same thing as stock option, right? So the reason
you're saying that your stock options are passive?
Less than 30 minutes per. So like I have alumni, again, I know this is all recorded, but I don't mind sharing it. I have alumni hitting 25%, 40% in 2021, and they are VP of big companies in Canada. They're like, Cody, I only spent less than 30 minutes per week making this. Is there something wrong with it? I'm like, are you happy with your 24 or 40% per year? She's like, yeah, of course. So what's the problem? She's like, I don't know. You said 30 minutes per day, but I'm spending 30 minutes per week. So once you learn it, it's like real estate. Once you learn it, you can make money while you sleep. Now, there's a right way and wrong way, in my opinion. Now I said that very strongly, right? This strategy was used by Warren Buffett for the longest time, but he rarely talks about, okay? This strategy, instead of get on the buying side of option, most people say, hey, Cody, how do I turn $100 into $1,000? That's what people are thinking. This is small money. I want to gamble. I want to take out calculated risk, like buying a lottery. But instead of on the buying side, participating in the casino, now you're on the selling side. What does that mean? That means you are the casino or you are the insurance broker. That means like your home insurance, all in, right? Mike, when I ask you all the insurance premium you pay every month to your home and auto insurance, do you ever get it back, whether you make a claim or not? Do you?
Right, no, not at all.
And now this strategy will allow you to be that insurance company. And I'll use real estate terms to explain that because most of your audience are real estate investors. So imagine all real estate investors, what? They want to buy off-market deals, right? Pocket listing, below market value, right? I want the same thing. I run a business to do that. Now, most of the time, you pay a markup to get that, a finder's fee, whatever that is, right? A wholesaling fee.
Right.
Guess what? In this case, you agree, let's say, not stock advisor or anything, but let's say Apple. You talk about you like Apple, Tesla, whatever. Imagine you can buy Apple 10% off. You just by agreeing to buy Apple 10% off, right? Right now, Apple's about 172. Imagine you agree to buy Apple 162 and you get paid 1-4% per month to agree to buy Apple 162. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's...
You want to buy at 172 anyway. And now you get paid 1-4% to buy 162.
Now you're getting paid 1-4% on those particular stock options or?
Yeah. So is stock options like a contract? So imagine I come up with, I'm the insurance company now. That's when we're selling stock option, selling options. We're the insurance company. So I come up with a policy and say, here's the policy. This is how much premium you pay me for the next 30 days. If Apple goes below 162, sir, or whatever, Mike, you can come back and make a claim and force me to buy 100 shares of Apple 162. But in exchange for that risk, define risk, we will pay you 172 to 500 bucks per month for doing that, right? So imagine that. And you're like, I want to buy Apple at 172 because I did all my homework. I know your financials, long-term bullish on it. I know this is number one company that Warren Buffett is investing in. I'm very comfortable in the long term. Now I can buy it at a discount price and get paid to further reduce my cost of ownership. It's a no-brainer, right? So it's like buying, you're getting paid to buy off-market deals and the real estate turns. Are you following so far,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes perfect
sense.
And
then the next step, right? There's a circle in here too. The next step is once, if ever, you need to buy those Apple stocks at 162. So whenever the Apple stock expire lower than 162, you need to buy 100 shares. But anytime that's above 162, by the expiration, they're 163, 200, whatever, you just keep the premium, just like an insurance company. It's like, hey, expire, you didn't make a claim, too bad, I'm keeping all the premium anyway. And even if someone make the claim, like yourself make a claim to me, I still keep all the premium. And now I'm forced to buy 100 shares of Apple 162, right? Now I have 100 shares of Apple. What do? I turn around and do the same thing. Now I have the shares. I sell the insurance contract and agree to sell my shares at higher than 162. And I get paid 1-4% again per month. So not only I got a discount, now I agreed to sell it higher. I get paid another 1-4% again. And now this is a rent to, right? And real estate. You agree a rate that you're willing to give it away. Yes, you cap your gain. Hey, I say, hey, I've agreed to sell Apple 165 in a month. I get paid 1-4% for it. So what do I get? The worst case is, if Apple goes to 170, I cap my own profit at 165. I only profit the difference between 165 and 162 plus the premium I get paid as an insurance company. But to me, that's a good situation to be in. It's almost like what I tell my hundreds of my alumni is like first world problem. Rent the own, we get capped.
And just win-win situation, pretty much.
Yeah, win-win. All that is based on you really want to own that stock for the long term and you did your homework. So this doesn't work on highly speculated stock. It works on a good stock though.
You don't want to use this on a penny stock. You want to use this on a blue chip, a company that you do your due diligence on and do enough research to be comfortable that if it does drop down, that you know that in the long term, you're still going to get that back anyway. Yeah. So no, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's in a nutshell. I hope I didn't confuse you. I hope.
I think I know a little bit more about options now than I ever did before. So, cause I really don't know too much about options. I have friends that do it and they say they do quite well with it. I just never really took the time to get myself involved in it too much. And like I said, I would stick with like index funds or I would buy individual like blue chip stocks for companies that I'm comfortable with because I know where they're at, but I never looked at options as a thing because honestly, I just thought it would be a little too much, like too time consuming. Mm-hmm. But with the way you're putting this out, like you can do this in a pretty, it's not even, well, besides the time to research the company, the actual time that you're taking action to buy the options, like you said, it's probably going to be less than 30 minutes. So that's actually, it might be something I might start looking at to play around with a little bit. If I've, you know, just got some spare cash to just play with, maybe I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, it's a cash flow play. So this when you're insurance company get the float, right? This is mm-hmm. what they call the float. So this is like our float. So when we get paid this premium, what do we do? We can either support our day-to-day life or as a proceeds, go buy more real estate, or we can take it and buy your index or ETF for the long term. So this is how we split out money. So for me, I set an amount. Every time it goes 100K over, I'll pull the money, right? And then buy more real estate yeah. or buy more long-term stocks or ETF.
And you're not strictly in just stock options. You're well diversified. So just mm-hmm. to put that out there for everybody that's listening, like this isn't like the be all end all of what Cody's doing, right?
Yeah.
So like you said before, you have this circle, you have this little cycle going on, yeah. which is the washing machine of Cody's funds, right? And how it goes from one to the next. And I love it. I love that you find a way to employ your dollar in more than one thing at one time. And I think that's the biggest thing to take away from here. Like it's not, your $1 goes into like three different things. So you just turned your $1 into $3 instantly without mm-hmm. even knowing it. And I think that's just absolutely amazing.
That's an amazing way of putting it. I never thought about it that way.
I know. You know what? It's funny. Like people tell me some things they're doing and I come up with these little weird things that work. Because yeah. in my brain, I'm like, oh, this makes sense to me if I say it like this. And again, this is average Joe finances, right? So I'm putting this out there for the people that aren't too savvy with, you know, financial literacy and things like that. Because it's all a learning process. And that's the whole point of this show and bringing you on to talk about this is so people can learn and try to make the best decisions for themselves financially to build their future, right? And that's one of the things like you'd see in the background behind me, it says build your wealth and control your future. And that's what it's all about because
yeah.
financial freedom isn't about being rich. Wealthy is one thing. There's a difference between being wealthy and being rich. And we focus on being wealthy because we want to have that financial freedom to live the life mm-hmm. that we want to live mm-hmm. and not have to worry about finances where mm-hmm. the rich are constantly struggling to stay rich. And when you're wealthy, you don't need to worry mm-hmm. about staying wealthy. You will hold that wealth. Mm-hmm. So big well difference said. There. So, but well. Okay. So, all right. There's, I have to ask you this, right? So besides real estate and stocks and options, mm-hmm. is there anything else that you play around with that you personally invest in? Like, have you bought into the crypto hype or anything or NFTs or anything like that? Because you see so much of that being talked about nowadays. So I like to ask people if that's something that they have considered or looked at.
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors. What's going on, Average Joes? We know that managing one account or your entire family's portfolio can be stressful and time-consuming. From building and maintaining spreadsheets, calculating how many new shares and units you need to purchase with your contributions, finding the time to log into your brokerage and make those trades, and annually rebalancing each account. Well, my friends over at Passive came up with a tool that can help you manage all of this in a fraction of time without spreadsheets and manual calculations. Passive is a portfolio management tool that makes it easier for DIY investors to maintain a balanced portfolio and build a passive investment strategy at their online broker. It eliminates the need to use spreadsheets, saves you from having to log into your broker to place trades, and helps you stick to your portfolio's target allocation. Elite users can save even more time by using the one-click trades feature and having Passive execute the required trades on your behalf. All of this can be done from the Passive dashboard for all of your accounts. No more logging in to multiple brokerage accounts. Passive is not a robo-advisor. It won't tell you what you should invest in, so you'll need to decide that for yourself, either through self-education or alongside a financial advisor. To learn more about Passive or to sign up, check out our link below, www.averagejoefinances.com/passive. That's P-A-S-S-I-V with no E. Again, P-A-S-S-I-V with no E. Check them out. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about Buzzsprout. The Average Joe Finances podcast recently switched over to Buzzsprout, and I gotta say, I am super happy with the progress. Our podcast is now on every single major platform and reaching audiences that we couldn't reach before, which is just super awesome. So thank you to Buzzsprout for being such a great platform. But also I want to say, hey guys, if you sign up for Buzzsprout and you sign up for one of their paid plans using our link, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So go check them out. It's averagejoefinances.com/Buzzsprout. And we'll make sure the link is in the show notes below. Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, great question. And like, personally, I have one Bitcoin since 2017. I bought it when it was 10,000. When it was 20,000, I thought I was a genius. When it went down to 3,000, definitely not. But the way I treat that is I bought one, not because I want to get rich. I want to buy a hedge just in case if ever this US dollar monetary system ever collapse. That is for my grandkids to play Ready Player One in the multiverse. I'm not even kidding. I have a lot of insurance.
I like
policy.
How you tied that in, because that's what I was talking about before with the metaverse. Like I was talking about like some of these movies that they show like what the future might look like. And Ready Player One was exactly the movie that was in my head when I was talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
So to me, I hide my password. I'm not even going to joke about it. I literally hide my password. I'm not selling it for life. I'm holding it for my grandkids, right? If it goes to a million, great. Hey, my grandkids have something to work with. But if it goes to zero, it doesn't hurt me at all. It's $10,000 USD in 27, right? That's extra layer on top of my whole life insurance, my disability, long-term care, whatever, and real estate and stock option, multiple stream of active income. That's the last tier. Now, for people who are thinking they can make a quick bucks because this is all the hyped up thing, just be very careful with that, because there's many incidents in the past that even if you look at automotive companies back in 1900, when they first started this car thing, there was 1,000 companies. And now all those 1,000 companies, if you look at how many of those are on the S&P 500, there's zero of them. Ford wasn't out yet. Toyota wasn't out yet. So this is, in my opinion, the 19,000 of the automotive. So everything is so new. Everything is so great. The best thing I can say is stick with the bigger thing that really has an application and the technology behind it, rather than just following people you like, people you trust, because that's not a hope is not a good game to play in this case. And that's another thing why I don't participate in that, is because to me, I don't just look at the return. I always look at the risk first. Can I defend this in the future to myself? Can I tell myself that yes, I look at the risk, I'm comfortable with that risk, I'm going ahead in. If I cannot defend that anything, I'm like, I always try to pull myself back and say, Cody, if I ask myself that decision 5 years from now, would I regret it? And to me, that might be one of the decisions. If I put more money, I might regret it. And I don't want to have that kind of thing, right? If 5 years from now, what do you think that decision? Is that a good decision or a bad decision? And I only make the good decision if I can defend that in 5 years, right? So I always look at the risk first, very risk averse. And everything else to me, it's the upside. If I go in, I already know what the risk is and I'm comfortable with it and I have the odds in my favor. Same with the stock option strategy. When I go sell an insurance contract, just like an insurance company, they have actuaries, calculate all your risks, how many claims they can make, how many money they can lose, right? Best case, average, worst case scenario, right? So same thing with us. The moment we go in, I know what's the probability that we'll ever have to buy Apple at 162. I know that probability. And I know even if that probability is wrong, I have to buy Apple, I'm okay in the long term. Right. Again, not stock advice. I'm at the stage where I consider things like that. It's not like I have so many choices. There's so many ways to make money. But what is the most effective and the safest way? And don't do dumb things, like what Charlie Munger said, right? Just don't do dumb things and you're a lot better off already. Right. A lot of people think they're doing a lot of things, but not all of them are the right things or are the most effective things to get to wherever they want. And they look very busy, but they're going nowhere. Instead, use more time to think and think from the risk perspective, not from how much money I can make. No, think about how much money can you lose. Then, if you're comfortable with that, everything else is the money you make, in my opinion, right? Sorry, I went on a rant, but...
No, that's cool, man. I was just letting you go because I like what you're saying. I like where your head's at with that too. That was one of the things I was thinking as you're talking is, you know, exactly where your head's at when it comes to cryptocurrencies and things like that. Because you're talking about, if you're going to go with it, go with the big ones, go with the ones that are here to stick around and not just some coin that was made up because JPEG. Somebody thought it'd be funny to make a name up or whatever. Yeah. So you're talking about like Bitcoin and like Ethereum, yeah. Right? And
yeah.
Ethereum, I think is pretty neat too, because that's what all the NFTs are tied to right now. So everybody's mm-hmm. making these big deals about NFTs, but It's purchased with Ethereum and it's being sold with Ethereum. So that's something that
almost
if you
like
look
platform,
at it.
Like a means, right?
Right.
Not the end product, but the means, the platform for it.
Right? Exactly. So it's got a lot more, I guess it's a lot more stable and it's got a lot more weight behind it because it is something that's being used in transactions often. It's not like some of these other coins that the only transaction for them is them being traded. They're not being used as any type of currency or anything like that. So again, I'm not really too comfortable with that. Again, you don't know what you don't know. And if it's something I decide to invest in the future, it best be known that I'm going to research it before I jump into it. I'm not just going to dump some money into it. I have one crypto coin right now, and it is an altcoin. And the only reason why I have it is because it's given to me through this website that I host my podcast on, that my podcast is on, and people can vote for it. And when you get upvoted, you get this coin, and it's called Hivecoin. And my podcast has actually been trending on there for a while. So I do have a pretty healthy amount of this coin and it's worth like $1.18 per coin right now.
Nice.
So it's okay if I ever decide to cash it out, but I'm not even going to do that. I'm just letting it sit there because I did nothing to earn it. I just keep putting out my content. And if people vote for me, then awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. So everybody that's on the Aureal One system that is voting for my podcast, I just want to give you all a shout out real quick and say thank you very much for that. But yeah, honestly, I'm not like a crypto enthusiast, but I've brought people on that are. And they talk about their reasons, their why. And I understand that. And I'm not going to knock anybody if that's their thing. They've done the research. They've put the effort into it. I have not. So I'm not gonna be the guy that tries to crap on anybody that's doing something different. Because you know what? The people that think outside of the box and do different things, but they're the ones who pioneer the next stages of development. And for those people that do that, hey, good on you. I appreciate you. I'm going to go with what I'm comfortable with for now. And maybe in the future, we'll see.
Yeah. To add on that quickly is the way I look at things is the things I'm investing in has to be scalable.
Yes.
Now, would I put 7-figure into crypto? If I have 10-figure, maybe I'll put 7-figure, right? But it's the scalability, right? How comfortable you are. If people say, I'm very confident about it, but meanwhile, I only put 5% of your net worth. That's not confident to me. But whereas a lot of real estate investors or stock option investor like myself, when we put a lot of net worth, and that is what I said, you put your money where your mouth is. Not just, I'm very confident, but I only put in 50K. I'm like, cool. But your money is not saying the same thing. So I like to follow where the money is, where the big money is, right? When they say, I do something, okay, do you actually pay for it? Or do you actually, that's what I look at. And a lot of time that doesn't line up. But if you're into crypto, there's definitely nothing wrong with it. Just knowing that there's a lot more volatility, I'm gonna have to hold it for long term, right? And to me, it's just harder to scale at this point with the volatility and with the knowledge, with the wild spread of things out there at this point, not yet, not stable enough for me to pour a lot of money in. Right.
It's crypto itself is like 24/7 day trading, right? Like for me, if I was day trading, I can't do it. I don't have the time. And two, like having to sit here and stare at it and watch it go up and down and up and down, I'd have a heart attack. I would lose my mind. I'm not built for that. Okay.
And so, you and me are, I tried that before. Like I said, it's the return on time and lowest return on stress. And look where we are. We're quite comfortable. We're going to say we're there, but we're quite comfortable. We have our own financial freedom. We have multiple streams of income. So we must be doing something right. So again, whoever you listen to, make sure you listen to the people that has a track record, time proven, and they're living the life you want. Don't listen to someone who's like, say, very confident again and again. They're trying new things and failing and all that. They're like, the next one will be the big thing. The next one.
They're taking their pictures in front of the rented Lamborghini and Ferrari and the private jet with all the girls around them and stuff. And everything's rented. Nothing's
rented. So, yeah. And that's really the message I want to send, right? Just listen to the person and then educate yourself.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing what you do because it's really quite awesome. And what you've built since you immigrated to Canada at the age of 18 and just you've been going nonstop and building something really good for yourself and building that generational wealth for your future family. So when you do have children, they're already blessed and they're not even here yet. And that's just amazing that you've had that mindset even before having a child. And a lot of people have children and still can't figure out how they're going to put food on the table for the rest of that child's life. Yeah. And having that mindset, and I'm glad that switch flipped for you at a very young age when you were in college and going to school. And that's amazing.
Because I was putting a lot of overtime. That's when I woke up like, I'm 25. It's my prime.
Woke up two lanes over.
I can't do this, man. Like, literally, I woke up two lanes. There's one time I almost hit a taxi right in front of me. I thought the guy was banging my head. I'm not religious or anything, but I thought God just gave me a hand and said, hey, dude, wake up. You're going to hit that car. I was literally that close that I shift, right? I'm like,
you woke up literally and figuratively, right? Because you opened up your mind to where you're at now with building this legacy and this financial independence for yourself. And I just want to say, man, super proud of you for what you're doing. And I really appreciate you taking time to talk with me about this. So I want to ask you, because when it comes to financial literacy, there's a whole bunch of different things people can look at to get into, to start learning. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any tips or tricks for anybody that is just getting started today? Like they just finished college and they just got their first job. Or let's say somebody who just got out of debt and they're middle class and they want to start investing and they want to start building their net worth. What would you say to somebody who's just starting out today?
Yeah. A lot of YouTubers talk about spending less. Now, to me, it's very important, but that's the easy thing to talk about. But what people don't talk about more is how do you speed up the process to build more wealth? Because that's the part that's hard to talk about. So there's real estate. There is stock option to have more cash flow. There is even more passive way of insurance policy, right? Infinite banking concept. Again, I'm not a broker or anything. I barely know enough to talk about, but I do put my money where my mouth is. And
I'm just going to jump in and say, I figured you probably did that when you mentioned that you got a whole life insurance policy at the age of 23. So I didn't want to go down that road, but I was pretty sure. I was like, he probably does infinite banking, which is another way to add that to the cycle. So that's pretty
and
awesome.
And the corporation as well, not personally, both. So
that's awesome.
So it's really, this is cliche and not cliche. Learn about it, takes actions on it. Fail fast if you're ever going to fail, but learn from the people and learn from people's mistake. Whenever I go mingle with people, big time real estate investor, big time stock option trader, coach, whatever, ask them, what's the biggest mistake ever? What should we avoid? Same thing I talk to all my students. These are the mistakes I make, all the students make. Please don't do that. If you look at it from a risk standpoint, everything else is upside. So please don't do that. Same thing, I'll do the same thing. If you already look at all the risks, you're okay with it, just go do it. And that's what brought me to where I am right now, brought you to where you are right now. We're looking at if there's ever another crash in real estate or stock market, we are okay as well. I'm very confident in saying that because most of all my real estate is cash flow positive. We readjust the portfolio. So we have a buffer setting and I have like 6 months rent in there. I have like 50% loan to value. So that's like, I don't take more than that out. So that's, I'm quite careful with that. So I'm at the same time expanding, but I'm not expanding in a very irrational way. If something happened, I'm setting up a lot of buffer. Now, if we look at from that perspective, don't compare yourself with anyone. Was like, how many doors you have, whatever. Compare yourself from a year ago. If you're already moving forward, appreciate that. Take time to appreciate that and celebrate that because that's you moving forward, not everyone else. Everyone has a different journey. Doesn't mean someone's growing faster. Will be there 20 years, right? A lot of people grow so fast that implode their own business because they don't know how to scale. So compare with yourself. And it was a very exciting journey to me. You've probably seen I'm an efficiency freak, building business and all that. And just very excited. This is financial freedom is great for me, but I work even longer hours, but it's the things I really like and I know can make an impact on my life, everyone's life, their family's life. And that's what really drives my passion, right?
Yeah, right on. I love it because you're doing something that you enjoy, that you love. And it's something I've talked about on this podcast several times. If you're doing something that can you even really consider that work? And you're doing something that you love that is building an income for yourself at the same time, you're helping other people. It's just awesome. Like I love your mentality, your vibe and your energy as you're sitting here talking about this stuff, because I can tell you're passionate about it. I can tell that you're the real deal. And there was something as you were telling that portion, right? You said that as you go up to these different meetups and you talk to these big real estate investors and stock options coaches, and you ask them that one question that I am now going to ask you. And I'm adding that to my repertoire here because this is something I haven't asked anybody on this podcast before. If I have, it hasn't been often. So Cody, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made?
The biggest mistake I ever made is I trust some uncle about wheat stocks. when I don't know anything about it, when they say, Cody, this is the new deal that the biggest weed company in Canada, that the managing director is going to Australia to open this company. I bought that shares at 1.2, I remember. And guess what? Within 6 months, it went down to 0.3. And I called my friend, because I think I put in like 10,000. And I called my friend and said, hey, what, did you still have it? Like, should we hold it? He said, oh, I sold at 1.0. I'm like, dude, you're my best friend. You didn't tell me about it. Were you trying to hide it from me? Or like, what was that? Right. So that was the biggest mistake. And from then on, I never play those games anymore. I trust myself.
Yeah.
I don't blame anyone. I don't hope anyone to tell me when to enter, when to exit, what investment to make. I take full responsibility. If I'm going to make it, I know all the risk. I'm not going to blame anyone. Even if you tell me something, Mike, because I do this. Okay, I'll think. If I'm going to make it, even if I fail or being successful, I'll really thank you for it both ways, but I'm not blaming you for anything. And no one should really blame anyone, because if you have those kind of victim mentality, you will never make it. You will never improve, and you're going to live a miserable life. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. I love that. I love that, man. You take full ownership and responsibility for your own actions, even though you got shafted there. And that's definitely commendable, Cody, for sure. And the fact that you bounced back from that and you used it as a learning experience, a very expensive educational moment for you. But at the same time, you still paid for your education, right? It was just a little more expensive than you probably wanted to pay for it. So no, definitely appreciate that perspective. So I've got another question I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. And this is also in regards to education and for somebody who's trying to learn a little bit more. But do you happen to have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast or both?
Yeah. So for book wise, this is one of my, I'm not sure if you know this book, Stephen R. Neal, Money, People, Deal. Again, a lot of people talk about Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think that's cliche now. So Money, People, Deal is a really great book. Unfortunately, the author passed away at age 33. He's from Canada, but he left a really good legacy. And this is a book I'll recommend for any real estate investor or people who are new, where he talks about the three things, right? Money, people, deal. This is all the components in real estate deal. You need all three of them. And most people can't find the money because they couldn't figure out the people in the deal. So in a nutshell is that. And podcast, I came across your podcast. I listened to some episodes. They're great. And depending on where you are, I would say if you're investing in real estate, listen to the local investor podcast, because it could vary, right? Michael in Honolulu, I'm in Canada and US, everything is very different. The price point, the broker, the interest rate, the policy, and the structure is very different. So listen to the local ones and go out to the meetup events, right? And like me, when I was driving to meetup events, I was listening to the podcast while I'm driving there. So I'm doubling down. So I would say that's the best way to learn, or go on YouTube and you can learn more general stuff.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because that's what I do myself. I very rarely listen to music in my car anymore. I always have a podcast on when I'm driving to work, or an audiobook, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm listening to, because I pay for the YouTube premium, right? Don't kill me, Dave Ramsey, wherever you're at. But yeah, I pay for YouTube premium because sometimes there's a lot of good YouTube videos that I want to just listen to that have to deal with financial literacy or business related. And that's something I can actually, you know, hit the power button on my phone and turn my screen off, put my phone down and have it play through my speaker still as well while I'm driving to work. Or a lot of times I like to watch some of the book reviews on books that I've read and see what other people got out of that book.
Different perspective.
Yes. Get a different perspective and be like, oh, you know what? I didn't look at it that way. I got mm-hmm. this out of the book. So that's an interesting mm-hmm. way to look at it. And I think that's super important as well. And I've actually learned so much through that, actually, just through book reviews. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've actually ever mentioned that on this show before, but I think that's just a great way to learn about a book too. Mm-hmm. Read the book itself. Don't just watch a video or something on a book review, but watch or listen to some of the book reviews and get a good understanding mm-hmm. of what somebody else got out of that. Mm-hmm. And it might open your eyes. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's super important stuff. So I definitely appreciate that. I appreciate that you listen to my podcast as well. That's awesome, Cody. And now I know you have a YouTube channel and you help educate some people as well. So mm-hmm. I'd like to give you an opportunity now, if you could share with us where people can find out more about you, what you're doing, and if you have any website or social media that you can share with us, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, if I don't leave anything, they're going to go into Google and type in Cody Yeh, C-O-D-Y space Y-E-H. So if you don't get anything away, just go type in on YouTube. On Google. I kept saying YouTube. And there's some free YouTube videos. I have 18 videos. There's 14,000 subscribers, which a lot of people thought it was a miracle. And that was because I was talking about this very stock option strategy. and there's a lot of traction on. And I have a Facebook group, free Facebook group, right? You can request to join, right? Mikey can put in the show notes. There's more than 4,000 people, like-minded people in there, all organic. I didn't pay for any ads for it. People just join and they drag their friends, refer their friends. I run Facebook Live every Sunday at 7 p.m. and I have a lot of vlogs in there. Not my own, like personal walking dogs. This is more about financial stuff, right? You know, how I take the, why I buy the Porsche. I really drive it for free for a reason. Can I house, like house hacking or car hacking ways, right? You can drive it cheaper than Honda kind of ways. So yeah, Facebook group, YouTube, social media, like Instagram, Cody A, same thing, you'll find me. And yeah, if you're really interested in learning more about stock option, if Mike could do that, put a link for the application in the show notes. And I know people who are serious about it. We'll go through the 10 to 14 question because from that, I know how serious you are. Right. And that's really the first step, right? You'll tell me a little bit more about yourself. And from there, I know whether it's a good fit already. And it will hop on a phone, right?
Yeah, Cody, for sure. I'll have all your links in the show notes accessible for anybody that's listening. And if you're driving right now, don't sit here and try to copy and paste it. We'll make sure you can always pull it up later and get it that way. So Cody will definitely have that stuff in there because this interview, I totally enjoyed it. Like I'm being super honest with you here, just with what you're putting out and just how passionate you are about this. I can tell that this is something that you're not doing just for yourself. You're doing this for the betterment of mankind, right? And I'm not trying to sound cheesy or anything, but you are trying to help other people and help get them on that right path to financial literacy and financial freedom. So thank you for that. I definitely appreciate that. And Cody, it's been an absolute honor and privilege to have you on the show. I really appreciate you taking some time on a Saturday to have this chat with
me. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure. And really to add on to that, I really just don't want anyone to have to go through the financial struggles in my family that we go through. And there's a lot of ways to improve that. And I'm making sure my next generation or your generation, your next generation, your audience next generation don't have to go through that. But I'm not going to hand money to my kids. They're going to work for it. Or I'd rather give it to a charity. I'm not even joking about this, right? If they don't deserve it, right? So I think this is the right mentality to spread around. You work for what you get and don't have the victim mentality and enjoy the journey because it's a lot of fun, right? So
absolutely. Enjoy the journey. So that's what we're all about, right? Building our wealth, controlling our future, and that journey that takes us all the way to the end. So Cody, again, man, thanks so much for coming on and aloha from Hawaii.
Thanks.
Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.